creation. So come take a look, give me the hook or the ovation. It's my world that I want to have a little pride in. My world, and it's not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say I am what I am.
Gente, there was a zoo, and that zoo had different animals. Once it so happened that the gorilla who was there in the zoo got sick and died. So the zoo master wanted to have a new gorilla, but then it was very difficult to get. So he hired a man and gave him the dress of gorilla and told him that you have to behave like a gorilla in the zoo, how you have to jump, how you have to dance and do everything like that. So this man who was hired had no experience. So he wore that dress of gorilla and he started behaving whatever he could do as if he is a gorilla. And as he was doing all those weird activities, trying to fool people, it so happened that suddenly he lost the balance and there was a lion in another cage. And he happened to fall in that cage. And he got so terrified Now there is a lion there. And this gorilla, in fact a man, masquerading as gorilla, he got so terrified and started shouting. So that lion, who was there in another cell, came very close to him. And he said, "Please shut up, otherwise we both will get fired." So this is how with human beings, we are something else and we show to the world that we are something else. And that's why there is a sense of disharmony. There is a sense of discontent. And we feel that we are far away from that equipoise, from that stage of equanimity, from that stage of tranquility, calmness. Because at the core, we are something. And outside, we are showing as if we are something. Our today's topic is, I am what I am. This is a catchphrase. And different meanings can be derived from it. Am I really the one? Who am I? One of the American film actors had written in his autobiography that I have played so many roles in my life and I have two observations. The first, it's quite easy to step into that role. But once you are inside the role, it's very difficult to come out of it. Then I lose my original identity and I feel as if I am that same person. Sometimes I am Shakespeare's Macbeth. Sometimes I am Romeo. Sometimes I am policeman. Sometimes I am a thief. So it's quite easy to step into that role. But it's quite difficult to come out of it. So he said, this is my first observation. And the second observation is that I have played so many roles in my life that sometimes I just don't understand who I am. So many roles. So there is a sense of role consciousness. And that makes me feel as if I am really away from who I am really. So the one question to be asked, which everyone must ask, we all have the knowledge of soul and a lot of information stock within us, but if this knowledge is here at the center and we draw a circle, more often than not we will find that we are roaming, walking around that circle, far away from that inner stage of soul consciousness, which is my real nature. If this is soul, and we draw a circle on the circle, relationships, work, seva, duties, daily activities, words, actions, connections, everything is there. But all those things, how much everything is in conformation with what is within, we will find that there is a split within us. The three things are behaving in a very haphazard manner. Thoughts, words and deeds. Probably they all three are not in alignment. We are thinking something else. But what we speak is something. And then what we do is entirely different. Can we make all these three things in alignment? That's a question. not just thoughts, but my emotions, my imagination. What is the level of purity in my imagination? What is the level of purity in my thoughts? What is the level of purity in my awareness? And what is the level of purity in my dreams? So these are very subtle questions. We come in Baba's Gyan, we begin our journey. All of us start swinging in joy, floating in rapture. But one very important thing that begins is the process of complete purification, which takes a very long time. Joy of meeting God, joy of coming to Madhuban, joy of meeting this family is definitely there. But the process of purification is entirely different, which results out of deep self-effort, introspection, silence, solitude, as in today's blessing Baba said about Brahma Baba. It's not that you can say that I don't have time. You have to take out time. If you have that intense love, time automatically will come to you. So, how can I be what I am really? So when I think of this catchphrase, what I am what I am, at least 7 things come to my mind. First thing, I have to be true to myself. I am what I am means I have to be true to my own self. Am I true? Or I am practicing self-hypocrisy? Whom I am deceiving? Is it not the game of self-deception that I am playing at a very subtle level of emotions, feelings, thoughts? We behave in a different manner when we are in front of people, and when we behave in a different manner when we are alone. Am I really true to my original nature? My original nature tells me that I am extremely peaceful, extremely pure soul. But throughout the day, what happens to me? Whatever I see, whatever I hear, wherever my eyes go, energy flows. Something is trying to make impact on me all the time. If mind is the mirror, thoughts are the dust. They keep on gathering on that mirror. What sort of thoughts? What thoughts of feelings? Forget the world. While staying in this Brahmin family, what are my deepest feelings for those who are very near me, for those who are the members of this family? Are they positive all the time? Or I keep on getting bittersweet experiences? On the outside, we say that we have pure thoughts and good wishes for everyone. But is it so? If suddenly I am criticized, if suddenly I am opposed, if suddenly insulted, what is my feeling towards that soul? If suddenly somebody becomes an obstacle in my path, how do I react? That reaction will tell exactly what were my feelings. So, the first thing we have to learn in this Brahmin life is to remain true to ourselves. No self-deception, no self-lying, no self-hypocrisy. I am what I am, accept it. Though it's quite a difficult task, but Baba says, I am imperishable surgeon. Don't hide anything from me. Whatever that has happened in your life, whatever that is happening in the life, Just be candid, be frank in front of the father, and narrate him everything. And he will help you to lift your mood, your stage of the mind, rather than allowing that stage to linger on. Come out. Somebody has said a very beautiful thing. We don't progress from darkness to light. We progress from lesser light to higher light. Whichever stage of the mind we are right now, always know well that there is a better level of understanding. There is a better level of light. Still ahead. I have to reach that level of understanding. I am here right now, and this is my analysis of the situation. This is my analysis of the world. This is my analysis of the Brahmin family. This is my analysis of the Murlis or Gyan. But definitely, there is a higher platform where I have to reach. So, this thirst, this quest for higher level of understanding should always stay. Rather than becoming self-complacent and thinking that I have understood things as they are. This feeling that there is more to be learned, there is more to be understood. And when we reach that level, we start understanding, we start learning from everything, from everyone. Even a small child comes and teaches us so many things. And that induces a sense of humility within us. A very wise man was once going, and he sees a small boy carrying a lamp in his hand. And this man thinks, let me take a dig at him. Let me play a prank. So he calls that boy and asks him, where are you taking the lamp? The other lamp. The boy says, to the temple. Okay. So the man, wise man asks him, tell me from where this light has come. A tricky question. The wise man asks that small boy, tell me from where this small light has come. The boy says, he doesn't say, he first blows off the light and says, from the same place from where it has gone now. So this man was thinking, probably I know more. And he writes that I learned so many things from that boy. There is so much to learn in this life in terms of experiences, in terms of understanding. I am sitting here and this is the situation in front of me. And I know this situation from long time. I know these people from long time, maybe 10 years. And then after staying with them for 10 years, I come to the conclusion that these are this type of people. And I think that probably my conclusion is perfect. But another man comes and he analyzes the situation, and for him everything is different. Whatever is within us, the same thing is reflected outside. There was an old man who was told by his son that better it would be if you stay in the old age home. Daily quarrel, daily something or other is going on. The daughter-in-law is not happy that the father-in-law is here. So she coaxes the husband, and the husband, the son says to the father, better it would be you go to the old age house. And he takes him to the old age house. But the old man is quite happy with it. So the receptionist takes that old man to the door, and she is about to show him his room. At the entry of the room, the old man says, oh, what a beautiful room this is. The receptionist says, but you have yet not seen the room. He says, there is no need of seeing the room. Whatever is within, the same would be reflected outside. So he has already accepted that the room is very good. And that's why the room becomes very good. Automatically. So this is a higher level of understanding. So I am what I am means I have to remain true to my nature. And my nature is to stay peaceful. My nature is purity. My nature is love. My nature is to remain calm. Situations are outside. They cannot dictate me how I have to be. I am already situated in my original nature. So that's the first meaning. I have to remain true to myself. Second meaning of that phrase is no show off. No show off. No exhibition. This is one of the deepest human nature that we try to show off. If I do some service, I will do something so that it becomes known to everyone. That's so deeply within, ingrained within me. And that is true in terms of, for such subjects as yoga, for such subject as jnana. The more the knowledge increases, there is somebody sitting within us who tells us, tell others, do something so that everybody acknowledges, so that people recognize me. And this process itself takes me away from my original nature. I often give the example of Mama, who stayed for 1.5 months in Bangalore, and a lot of service was done. She came back and she was asked, Mama, how was the service? She said, it was okay. That's it. Full stop. No explanation. How was the service? It was okay. Full stop. The brother who had gone with Mama, then he described how many programs were done and what things Mama did. But she herself was away from that sense of self-praise. So there is no showing off. And this showing off happens at a very, very subtle stage. At a very, very subtle stage. And probably may not be known to others. It can be known only to me. That this act of mine was not my real nature. I was making a show off. And especially in front of seniors, we try to do that. I'll give you an example of medical field. One of my friends, he got post-graduation degree in orthopedics. And he did his first operation, knee surgery. And on the rounds next day, X-ray was done to see how was the surgery, whether the knee was properly done or not. So he was standing, and with him all the seniors were there. So he was showing to all the seniors how perfectly I have done the surgery. He was showing each and everything. You see, I have done this. See, I have done this. And then later on he was sharing, I realized what I was doing. If I have really done the perfect work, why I need to tell it? My seniors are standing there. They have got 50, 60 years of experiences of knee surgeries. And in front of them, I was showing them how perfect this X-ray is. How nicely repositioned is the joint now. So there was a very subtle sense of showing off. Exhibition. And that takes us away from our real nature. Our real nature says, you are what you are. Why you are showing to the world what you are not? Mahatma Gandhi has written in his autobiography that I had gone to London and I did not know how to speak English, and most of the time I would stay shy. I would not speak anything. But he said, shyness was my shield. Silence was my shield. That silence helped me in so many things. And there is a very beautiful statement there. Proneness to exaggerate, to suppress or modify the truth is the natural propensity of man. And silence is necessary to surmount this habit. Most of the time, when we speak, we are speaking out of habit rather than out of our real nature. One of the American presidents had said once that I repent for everything I have said, but not for all those which I just thought but did not speak. And I feel that better it was if I had not spoken, just thought but left it like that, and I did not speak. But then, because I had to repent for it. So, the second meaning of this, I am what I am, means I am not here to make any show off. I am not here to show to the world who I am, how better, how best I am, what I can do, what I have done. I cannot suffer from such self-praise malady. In psychology, it is known as narcissism. There was a person, Narcissus. He fell in love with his own image in the water. He used to go every day and spend hours together looking at his image. In Hindi, it is known as Nargis. There is a plant called Nargis that is always near the lake. And that indicates self-love, excessive self-love. We are tickled, happy, when somebody comes and appreciates. But then, the same happiness, the same appreciation would be reduced to the ashes if the same person starts blaming, abuses, or starts cursing us. If the praise makes me happy, know for sure, calumny, defamation would make me unhappy. Yogi is somebody who is stable. In the face of praise, disgrace, all situations, all the opposites of life. So very subtle checking is needed to find out, do I suffer from this showing of business? If you have really done something very good, your marks already you get. In your account, it gets added automatically. You don't have to do anything. I have seen in lot many centers, there are, you know, a lot of Kumars. They do great service. But when this, suppose there is some program in some center, and for 1 month everybody worked very hard, and there are few Kumars who have also worked very hard. Now the program got over, it was grand success. And the sister is in the class recounting the entire story, how everybody cooperated and how everybody worked together. But she forgot to mention the names of one or two persons. And those two persons, they feel so bad. And the same thing happened, you know, when in 1983, when the Om Shanti Bhavan was made, they decided that first some international conference should be there. And everybody was so excited because in the history of Yajna, this was the first conference. So many guests came from all over the world, somewhere, because there were no accommodations. So the people were staying in the guest house, in hotels and so many other places. So everybody wanted that, this is Baba's service, this is Baba's service, this is Baba's service, and let me work as much hard as possible left no stone unturned to make that program into a grand success. But you know, one subtle thing happened after that. Anybody? What was it? Those who were speakers, they received a lot of praises. And those who were not speakers, they felt very bad. Nobody mentioned our name. That was a subtle thing that had happened that time. We also worked so much, but nobody even asked for us. So they felt that prick within. One thing to know very well is that whatever good we do, we don't want a certificate from the world. And that is another thing, certificate of satisfaction or contentment, but we don't want somebody to come and shower praises on me. I know that whatever I have done is true, is a real service, and Baba knows about it. I don't want others to come and sing my glory. So I am what I am. Why I should make all this blow the trumpet of self-praise? Keep calm. One more thing, very subtle. Experience. Suppose this morning you got a very deep experience. Tears started flowing in Baba's love and you felt you are very much bodiless. Next day the same thing happened. The other day the same thing happens. Okay. Now there is a tendency within us to narrate this to somebody, and when we narrate, it doesn't stay the same. It changes. We try to modify it. We try to make it appear big. The deepest experience should be kept secret. It is good that you have the intention that others should know about it. But then the power which we get from those deeper experiences, that starts dwindling down gradually. The third thing, what I am what I am means not to exaggerate. This is one of the deepest human nature. We try to exaggerate and we are unaware of it. For example, a child comes running to his home and says, "Mother, mother, see, lion is chasing me." The mother says, "Lion? A dog is coming." So she says, "How many million times I have told you that lion is, it is not lion, it is dog." So the child says, "You never told million times. You are also lying, or you are also exaggerating. If I am, then you also." So this sense of exaggeration, I am what I am, means this is okay, this is what I am, I accept it. This is how I can do things. I know there are people who are better than me. I know people who are brilliant than me. I know people who are more tireless than me, and they have better planning capacities. I know if the same service would have been given to somebody else, probably he would have done better. I know that. But it is my fortune that Baba has given me this opportunity. Suppose you are looking after some center, and we feel, okay, see, I look after this center. And suppose you are told, okay, move out, now go to some other place. We feel bad. Why? We should not remain possessive of anything. If I am getting something, it is my fortune, or rather Baba has given this to me. And everything that has been given, the same power has the power to snatch it all. So what is the ego and what is the pride? There is no place for it. Rather, it should induce a sense of humility. The founder of Parsi religion, Zoroaster, he said a very beautiful thing. He said, service is not our duty. It's not kartavya. Service is our privilege. It is our fortune that I have been given this task. If God wants, He can. He has so many hands with Him. He can call any one of them who are better than me. But it is my fortune that I have been given this task. So let me do this with all my soul, with all my heart, with all my earnestness. No exaggeration. Even if it is less, it's fine. I have done this much. Next time I will do better. Suppose there's a program and about 100 guests were invited. Okay. And 50 came. But how do we tell others? About 100 people, more than 100 had come. If 500 were there, we say about 800 or 900 people were there for the program. We always try to tamper with truth. We try to modify it. We turn it to our taste. But truth is truth. Let it remain as it is. I am what I am. This is what I am. I accept all my faults. I accept all my failings. I accept all my shortcomings. I accept that many things are there in life I have not yet learned. In spite of being in this Brahmin life, I still do not know many manners and many etiquettes of the Brahmin life. This morning we had a discussion on kitchen manners. Kitchen manners. You know, the brother in the morning, he spoke for 1 hour on this topic. And a lot of discussion on this topic. What all things a person who cooks Brahma Bhojan should have in the mind. So many things came out. I will say maybe 50 points. 50 different points to be taken into consideration while preparing food. So many different aspects. So, I was just thinking, how much knowledge is there in this world and how much less we know. Even in this Brahmin family, so many things are unknown to me. So many manners, so many etiquettes, so many rules and so many hidden regulations are still there. What Baba says, Srimat. Srimat is very deep. To unpack Srimat, to decipher Srimat is not a joke or one day's job. It takes a very long lasting efforts to understand one simple Srimat. To sit in the class and to listen, Murli. If you just take this one topic, there are so many things that will come out. These are the things to be taken into consideration. To sit in front of the audience and to speak. So many things have to be kept in the mind. We are traveling. So many things have to be taken into consideration. Who we are. People look at me as a representative of Brahma Kumaris. So I have to bear that in mind. I have to keep that in mind that this is what I am. And all my behavior, all my demeanor, manners, words should be in conformation with that. So, no exaggeration. Next meaning of I am what I am is no falsehood. We all tend to lie. And our lies are very small sometimes. We don't think them also as lies, but they are lies. Once Dadi Janki asked one double foreigner, how are you? She said, "Theek hai." Everybody knows what is theek hai? Theek hai means I am okay. So Dadi says, theek hai means like the father. Are you like the father? Baap Saman. Are you like that? That soul. withdrew. The greatest lie that we tell is lying with oneself. One. Second, we lie to the Father. We lie to this Brahmin family. We lie to the world. And our lies are very, very, very subtle. And God is the ocean of truth. And whenever we lie, we go away from that truth. With those bundle of lies, we cannot be near Him. There was a conference here once upon a time, in the same hall. And a lot of lawyers had come. Jurist wing conference. And Dadi Prakashmani was sitting here. And she made a very strong and a very dramatic statement. She said, "In my whole life, I have never lied even once. Now, all of you raise hands who has not lied." They were lawyers. All those who were sitting there. So with that force, with that authority, with that, you know, that power she was speaking, that speaks volumes of her inner cleanliness, inner truth, inner lack of falsehood. This is falsehood trade which is going on in the world. And our lies are very small. Very, very small lies. And mobile has augmented it. If somebody calls up, "Where are you?" We say, "We are there," while we are here. Because who sees? So to remain true to oneself, to remain, to free oneself from that inner thick forest of lies. And the first truth is to be true to oneself, and the second in front of the Father. Do not hide anything from Him. I'll tell you one thing. Now you are here. Before you go back to your respective places, two things everyone has to do. First, review your last 6 months. Tomorrow morning at Amrit Vela, tell Baba everything that happened in your life in last 6 months. With sincerity, with truth. And then plan for next 6 months before you go out from this place. What should be my effort, spiritual effort? How should be my relationships? What should be my routine? How should be my Amrit Vela? How should be my Mudli churning? Plan here what you have to do there once you go back. And sitting here every day in yoga, see your entire lifestyle, what is there where you stay in your country. How do I spend my day? What time I get up? Then by what I do? What is the quality of Amrit Vela? After that, what I do? How I take my food? How I prepare my food? What I do during traveling? What are my subtle imaginations? How do I go to sleep? Sit here and review everything as a detached observer every day. So long you are in Madhuban. As you are in Madhuban. So these are the two tasks. Reviewing last 6 months. What were the mistakes? What were the blunders? What were the things that should not have happened and still happened? What were the sins that I committed? The thought crimes. Crimes at the level of thought. The cardinal sins that were committed, perpetrated quite in spite of myself. And after this, be very clean with Baba and then plan for next 6 months. Before you go out from this place. These are the two tasks everybody has to do. So we were at, I am what I am. No exaggeration. No lying. No falsehood. Baba loves very clean hearts. Very, very clean hearts. There's a book in English, Confessions of Saint Augustine. Anybody has read that? It's a beautiful book about a Roman Catholic saint, Saint Augustine. He is one of the greatest saints in the history of Christianity, who was very pure, pious, and lived a very beautiful life. But his previous life, his earlier life was full of sins. There was any mortal sins which he had, there was not a single mortal sin which he had not committed. But he had mentioned all those sins with that clarity in that book. I did this, I did this, I did this. And then suddenly how the grace of the Lord touched me. And suddenly how I got transformed. And suddenly how the invisible hand came from heaven and uplifted me where I was in the quagmire of vices. He mentioned his life. He confessed that spirit of contrition, contrite spirit, repentant spirit. And how he says, how the Lord lifted me, how his grace came up to me, and how I was saved. So, no falsehood. Next, no clarification. You know, we always have a tendency to clarify, to judge, to justify ourselves. And mostly to seniors. If they call you and ask you why you did this, we have a big explanation for that. And there is a very subtle and hidden tendency within us that we always love, always tend to justify, to clarify things. Okay, to give clarification if asked is okay, but with that force, as if you are trying to prove something to that person. There is a hidden ego there, zid and sid, Baba says. There is a force with which we want to prove that no, things are not like that. If somebody comes and calls you and says, "You did you steal that thing?" You will say, I never do that. And huge clarification. Did you say this to him? I say, "No, I did not know. I don't know who said." Whenever false charges are leveled, person tends to clarify, justify in a very vehement and a very loud manner. We have to speak the truth, but very silently and keep mum. That's it. You don't have to prove truth ever. Truth is self-evident. Truth is always self-evident. You don't have to do it anything with it. And the truth will one day come to the fore. All the clouds of falsehood would go away. So this is a sanskar. I have seen sanskar. That the moment a correction is given, that you are given this task, you did not do it, we immediately start justifying. You are given some service, but the seva did not take place as per that instructions, you have a huge explanation to give. Why to give explanation? That takes us away from our real nature, which is at the center. We start going away on the periphery and start moving across the periphery. So no need of any clarification, any justification. That is not what I am. That is not my nature. Let whatever the world says, let them say. If suppose somebody comes and tells you, I'll give you one example. If suppose somebody comes and tells you, you are a very egoistic person, what you will do? He comes and tells, and he is a gyani and yogi souls, and he says, you are very egoistic. What will be my reaction? Yes? What I will do? Or what I should do? Who told you, first of all? How can you say that? Based on this only he is saying, what I just now spoke. So, very subtle thing is, if that vice is really within me, if it is not really within me, I need not to get affected. Let them say anything. I know it's not there in me. I know I am not egoistic. I know I am doing as an instrument. So even if he says, first of all, I will not get affected. And second, let me introspect, go in solitude and recheck it. Is it really so? If he is right, then I need to change myself. I need a very subtle introspection, retrospection for that thing. So, this is a very important thing to understand. No justification. Sixth, no begging. What do we beg for? We beg, we are spiritual beggars in one sense. Love, care, attention, help, sympathy, understanding, hospitality, praise, appreciation, peace, power, respect. Inside we want that people should respect me, people should praise me, people should give me this. If I fall sick, they should ask me, how are you? And if they don't, I feel angry with them. When they were sick, we had gone to the hospital to visit them. I am in the hospital from last 4 days. He did not come even to see me. I am more sick. There is a subtle expectations within us. Huge expectations. That people should ask me, people should love me, people should take care of me, people should understand me. They should understand my state of the mind. How can they be so callous, so hostile? And the series of such negative thoughts lead to a series of sorrows, suffering, miseries. In last Sunday's Murli, Baba said, when you become alone, then you reach silver age. Thinking all these waste thoughts, whatever you have to do, do it now. If not now, then never. If there is a gap, then the waste thoughts will come in between and you will enter into that. You will become lonely or solitude. You will reach some hermit place. And these huge thoughts, why he did this, why he did this, why he did this. First thing is that I don't want to become beggar. Whatever I want, Baba takes care of it. He knows my needs. He will take care of it. I don't have to beg for anything. Even things, money, he will take care of me. I have to be very clear with him. He will take care of it, what is needed within me. And the last thing, seventh, hiding. Hiding. All of us have a tendency to hide few things. You know, there is, in 1818, there was a robber and the police were after him. He escaped the law and he entered South America, and there he changed himself completely. He used to wear 3 clothes and he started showing as if he is a doctor, and he started his own clinic, Dr. John Wilson, that was his name. So, when he was a thief, one of his legs was injured. It was deformed. So he used to wear 3 clothes in order to hide that and show to the world that he is something else. And he practiced as a doctor, fake doctor. When he died, before his death, he expressed an opinion, a desire that after my death, this clothes should not be removed. You bury me as I am. But then the mortician who was there, he said that no, we cannot follow this rule. After he died, all the clothes, the pant and everything was removed. They found that why this leg is like this. And they remembered that the same thing was with that robber, famous robber. I'm forgetting the name of that robber. Thunderclap or Thunder something. So it is that. So they went to his house. And they ransacked everything and they found all the hidden things which were there. So, it was the Satan wearing the clothes of an angel. So, he duped the world throughout the time he was living. And this is a true story. So, hiding, don't hide. It's a very dangerous thing. And we always tend to hide when we have done something which is really against Srimad or wrong. Then only we tend to hide something. When there is a truth in the heart, we don't have to hide anything. When the heart is very clean, very pure, all feelings or emotions are very sacrosanct, we don't have to hide anything. So, let me be what I am. I don't have to show off. I don't have to exaggerate. I don't have to practice falsehood. I have to be true to my own nature. Avoid self-deception. That is the greatest form of deception of Brahmin life. Outside I say I am yogi. Inside I have a desire for all the indulgences of the world. Outside I say I am a disciplinarian. But as soon as I go in my room and the doors are closed, I am a different man. Outside I show that I am not interested in this world and all the pleasures of the world. Inside I have all the desires, all the materialistic desires. Inside, outside I show I practice brahmacharya or celibacy. Inside, what I am seeing, what I am doing, what I am hearing. At the level of imagination. Try to purify imagination. I am again and again stressing this word, imagination and visualization. In Brahmin life, the sin happens at these levels also. One sets and daydreams, sensual fantasies, or memories of the past sensual life. They come back. Here, we are practicing purity. But this again, impurity comes. So these are the few things about I am what I am. Now we will have a combined yoga. So all of you, just sit alert. And as I said, review your last 6 months. What was the state of my mind? What were the things that made me depressed? What were the things that made me happy? When were those moments where the tears of love flowed down the cheeks? And when was the time when I moved so much away from father, from Baba, that even I forgot that he is there existing? And the battery of sins started. So, just, we will have a yoga, talk with Baba, self-talk, talking with father, and reviewing oneself and also planning for the next 6 months. Om Shanti.
I am what I am. I am my own special creation. So come take a look. Give me the hook or the ovation. It's my world that I want to have a little pride in. Not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say.